If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
What God is doing. And that's why so many people are afraid of the move of God, because we don't know how it's going to come. So when it comes, we try to, you know, put it in a bottle and control it by our responses. You watch people who pray for you when they're moving by faith. They get all emotional. They get loud. They get, what are they saying? That my faith must have this human participation. No, Jesus just spoke. Get up. When you're confident in belief, oh God, when you are confident in belief, woo! When you are confident in, listen, let me show it to you like this. Do you know how many of you go to stores, to clothing stores, or you buy a car? Anybody in here buy a car? All right, Jiminy Crickets. So I guess all y'all on the bus now. Now, when you believe that you're in charge, you act differently. But if you walk into a store or you go to the car dealership with a victim mentality, like I need this person, they talk to you any kind of way and you take it. Well, you can't get this car. You're going to have to get that one. Really? Yeah, this is the only one you can afford. Oh, my goodness. And when you can't afford it, you're like, yes, I'll take one. I really wanted power windows. Well, you can't afford the car with power windows. You got to crank. Okay, but when you come in with a 780 credit rating and you come in with $5,000 down, you say to them, if you don't give me what I want, well, that's what God said. Your life is supposed to be in the spirit. You don't have to spend all day arguing with the devil and letting him take all of your time. You say, let me tell you something, devil. This is one conversation we're having. I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep everything that I commit into his hands. You cannot have access to me anymore. Therefore, I'm going to praise God. I'm not going to spend time fighting with you, because I believe that I'm in the will of God. And whatever comes my way, God allowed it. And since God is allowing it, I'm coming out better. Woo! See, when you don't believe, then you go into, they don't like me. These people don't like me. These people don't say this to me. These people, I don't care. And I'm as serious as a massive heart attack. I don't care. If somebody doesn't like me, I'm not chasing anybody down, because I believe that I am God's child. And if you don't like me, God loves me. And because he loves me, let me tell you something. Just because you like me doesn't mean you're going to heal me when I'm sick. You're not going to lift me up when I'm down. But the God I serve loves me so much that he heals me when I'm sick, delivers me when I'm feeling joyless, and builds me up when I'm down. And that's what I believe. He said, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah. I don't care what anybody says. I am not ashamed of what I'm going through. Just because you don't understand why God let my car get repossessed, you don't understand why my body is having some sickness right now, I don't owe you an explanation. I believe in the Lord, and I'm not ashamed. Because this light affliction, the Bible said, is but for a moment, and I'm waiting for my deliverance. And I can't get my deliverance if I'm trying to please you. Glory. You have all the faith in the world, but not believe. Now, since we believe, back to John 17, he says in verse 21, since you believe, then you should strive for being one. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you believe that we are all one body, we should strive to be one with our brothers and sisters. I was at this leadership thing yesterday, and I made this statement. Over the past couple of weeks, the man of God stood up and said he was believing God for $54 million to buy an airplane. Now, I just want you to hear me before you start passing judgment. Now, he says he believes his followers were going to give him $54 million. And so I went to Facebook, and there this guy had made this statement, and they blasted it on Facebook. Somebody put it on Facebook, and underneath was all of these comments from believers and unbelievers about this man's statement about buying an airplane. And it aggravated me. Not that he was asking for the airplane, but that people were responding. And I was prompted in my mind to write, and I don't usually do this. And I wrote and said, can your children read? Can they perform algebra? Do they write well? I said, it appears to me that you're spending a lot of time arguing about someone's zeal and asking for $54 million for a plane, and you're not ensuring that your children have the necessary academic skills that they need to be proficient in life. Who cares if he's asking for $50 million? I ain't giving it to him. Why should you get upset? Wasting all your energy. He said God told him. Fine. Then if God told him, God's going to give it to him. But why do we get upset? Because our belief system has been insulted. So he's asking for a plane. So what? Why does that bother you? He made the statement. If Jesus was here, he would be riding a plane. He wouldn't be riding no donkey. Folk were upset. Who's he think he is comparing himself to Jesus? It didn't bother me. Because I don't know what Jesus would have been doing in the 21st century. He may have had himself, a plane. I don't know. But why does it bother you? Because your belief system has been assaulted. Because you believe that he shouldn't ask. And then you believe that you should ask. And then you're really going to get upset if he gets it. Then the blame will shift from him to the people. Look at those fools. They just fell for it. They just fell for it. Really? Why does it bother you? I sit around people, they abuse scripture all the time. Well, you know what the Bible said? You make one step, he'll make two. I say, amen. I'm about to take two steps away from you. But I'm not arguing. There are some people, they are Bible mechanics. They straighten every scripture. No, that's not what I said. So? Well, you know, we got to correct people. That's God's job. Jesus would sit with the Pharisees, never corrected them. They went off on tangents, never corrected them. He never cast his pearls before swine. He said what he said. They challenged him. He said, if you knew who I was, you would rejoice. They said, who are you? He said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. They said, you ain't even 50 years old. How are you going to say Abraham saw you? He said, before Abraham was, I am. They wanted to kill him. He didn't say, now y'all sit down and listen to me. I'm going to break this down. No, he stated the facts and moved on. Why? Because if you know what you believe, you don't argue. Can you imagine me standing outside the door trying to convince somebody that I'm the pastor of this church? No, you ain't. Yes, I am. No, you ain't. Hey, I need the four of you right here to come with me and tell this fool that I'm the pastor. You think that's going to make them believe it? They're going to say, well, you paid them to say it. When a person wants to walk in darkness, you can't make them believe truth. When the rich man died and he said to Moses, he saw him over in Abraham's bosom. He said, will you please? He saw Abraham over in the bosom. He said, would you please have somebody come back and tell my brothers about this place? And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. He said, yeah, but they would believe though one rose from the dead. He said, no, they wouldn't. He said, because if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe though one rose from the dead. Do you understand? If you don't believe the word of God, then you're not going to believe anything I'm saying. I can't convince you. All I do is lay it out in front of you, so when you stand before God and he pushes the play button and it comes up on the screen, you can't say you weren't told. Belief is up to you. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. But do you believe it? Hence we have now Mark 9:24. I believe, but help my unbelief. What's he saying? I have conflict. Where? In my reasoning? In my mind? The task is not to marry your spiritual with your soul. The task is marrying your unconscious with your conscience. And Jesus said if two come together, they get a supernatural ability. You've got to bring both parts of your mind in, the part that sees and the part that remembers. That's another, my faith clinic people, where are you? All right, y'all can get up here and teach this. Notice, he says down in verse 22, he said, the glory that you gave me, I've given them. Why? To what end? That they may be one. See there? God gave Jesus his glory. Jesus gave it to us, and the goal is to make us one. Hear me carefully. Jesus never failed in anything when he was here in a fleshly body. But we are not one. And on the surface, to a pragmatist, he fails with us because he can't make us one. He can't. We are still racially divided, doctrinally divided, biblically divided. We aren't one. Tribulation can't bring us together. It used to in the book of Acts. It brought us together. And that's why the devil stopped it, because the Christians were becoming stronger. So he stopped it. Then he came in and he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make them look like they're great so they'll despise each other because they'll want to be greater than the other. So we want positions, prestige, and power at the expense of character. And so what happens is we find people, when they lose their position, they become irreparably wounded. Some will even leave the church when they lose a position. That shows you their heart is not in oneness. It's in the position. Because if you are set in oneness, if you're removed from a position, you just sit in another seat and praise God. But your pride is saying, everybody's looking at you and wondering why you're not the so-and-so no more.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6118A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.